Right, we've got a Panthers pre/post-game podcast here. Let's look ahead to, well, I was going to say the weekend, but we've got more than one eye on the Challenge Cup semi-final second leg on Wednesday. We're going to talk about that very shortly indeed. Two massive games for the Panthers this weekend. It's Saturday against Sheffield on the road, and then Sunday against Manchester. Well over three quarters of the rink, the tickets have been sold, so get your tickets for that one. Family tickets with it being a Sunday. We're also going to reflect on the past few days, really. We didn't get together too much going on Wednesday for the podcast team to get together to talk after the game against Guildford, and we'll touch on that. And then two big wins against Coventry Blaze as well. Joined tonight by Ken Fees, Chris Gadsby from BBC Radio Nottingham, and former Panther Dan Green. Greener, first to you, have you had a haircut?
No, but I've just been swimming and washed my hair, so it's
Looks good,
I think
mate.
that's it.
It's
That's it.
voluminous. It's like,
I actually need a haircut. It's funny you say that. The opposite. I need one.
Me too. Me too. I desperately need a haircut. But greener hair looks good, mate. I've
Thank
always
you.
said this. Women always pay each other compliments about hair and clothes. Men never do that. Men should do that more often. So,
And
Ken, I like.
here we are paying each other compliments.
Yeah, Ken, I like your beard. And Chris, you've got a nice hoodie on.
Are you just doing
Toronto
this so
Maple
we
Leafs.
compliment you on something?
I
Is
don't.
that what?
Yeah, there's
I
not
like
much.
the
Yeah.
t-shirt.
There's not much to compliment on
Have any of
them.
you ever, at the end of a haircut, when you get shown the back of your head, said anything other than, "Yeah, that's all right, yeah"?
Good point. Do
Never.
you even like? Yeah, that is a good point, because what when they show you're like, you think, well, if it's not, you're just going to be English and too polite to say anything anyway, aren't you? So, Ken,
And
my money would have.
you can't really say like, "Oh no, it's too short," because it's like, well, oops.
I'm, to be fair, I like it because it's like where I've got the most hair on my head. It doesn't
Yeah.
like go anywhere near the front. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, that's the bit that I think that reminds me of like what my whole head was like 20 years ago. I would have put money on you, Ken, maybe occasionally just going, "No, I don't like it." You call a spade more than the rest of us. So you've never turned away, you've never got angry at a haircut then.
No, but when I've been known when the actually, to be fair, the guy who cuts my hair, I still go to the same shout out to the corner chop in Red Hill. Been
Great name.
so Julian cuts my hair, and his wife Amber started cutting my hair when I was 2 years old,
That's
and I've
great.
been going to the corner chop since yeah. Shout out to all the barbers that I mean. My mate did say to me the other day, he said, "You've been like loyal to like Julian and Amber for like all those years. You've helped put their kids through private school with your weekly visit to the hairdressers." And you know what? When Julian retires, he's just going to be like, "Oh, I'm not there anymore, Ken."
You don't really go weekly, though, do you?
I go every week, every Saturday morning, 11 o'clock.
Really? Wow. Well, we've taken a little bit of a detour, but I enjoyed that. We're also going to talk shoebox racing soon, but we're going to come on to that later. Let's first of all, we've not really had chance to talk about last weekend in detail. I know you guys touched on it on Saturday in the post-game podcast, but we've not really touched on Sunday as well. Ken Feast, those two games, that's what they were, two great games of hockey. I'm going to come on to fighting as well. Got so many topics to cover, but in both games there was a bit of everything. It just felt two good sides, two passionate sides, and they were two great games, home and away against the Blaze.
They were so enjoyable. They almost felt retro. Both the games were that to me, it felt like a real like rivalry, and no one's had to overhype it. No one's had to kind of tell you it's the biggest in Europe. It was just two teams playing for pride that are. Just the energy and all of it. It was just great. Two great games of hockey, and just reminded me about everything, all the reasons I love hockey.
And Greener, you were part of some great Nottingham Coventry rivals. In fact, I think you were. We've been here before. Were you the backup the night of the brawl? You
I
were.
was indeed, yeah.
Yeah,
I
you were, and
was.
then you came on the ice because Killer left the ice, didn't you? Of course, but there was a real intense rivalry, and there was real signs of that, real needle, wasn't there, over those two games last weekend?
Yeah, I think it was always the big Sheffield Nottingham, but I think almost before I got here, I mean, you guys will know more than me, but the whole Hollywood thing with Moline and Coventry, I think that was obviously before I
Oh,
was here, but
yeah.
that seemed like the start of it. And then when I first got here, obviously that was my first season here, was that big brawl. And then even, sort of the few years after that, there was quite a lot of needle between the two, especially the year we won the league. They had Ben Olsen and they had some quite big guys on their team, and we used to have quite a few dust ups with them. But no, exactly like Ken said, it's that game Saturday felt like a bit of a throwback game. It had a bit of everything. I thought we were excellent, but sold out game, great atmosphere, lots of goals. It was kind of close for a little bit, and then we just kind of put the pedal down a bit and just kind of took the game over. But no, obviously I didn't see Sunday's game, but again, physical, little bit of an edge. And yeah, absolutely. I think it's just two intense, both got intense, hardworking coaches, and it kind of spills over onto the players. So yeah, the more Panthers Blaze games, the better.
Yeah, and then what you say, it did roll over, it spilled over into Sunday. There was a bit of needle on Sunday. Diederik Hendren had a fight, and Chris, kind of ironic, that the kind of spiciest couple of games of the season come on the weekend when, of course, we all watch back at USA Canada, three fights in 9 seconds. Some of us of a certain age kind of look back and thought those were the days. I mean, you know what? I'm going to move on to. We touched on this in the pre-game podcast in Saltbox the other day, but again, you must have seen the video footage, the atmosphere that USA Canada game strikes me. We're recording this on Thursday. They're playing again tonight in the final, aren't they? In a few
Yeah.
hours as we're recording this, but that looked insane, didn't it? In Boston, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that was an incredible game. As you said, they get it again in what, 4 hours' time as we're recording this, 1 a.m. our time. And I have to catch up with that at some point tomorrow because I am not staying up until 1 a.m. with work early in the morning. But yeah, I think it was one of those. I mean, I was said didn't see the game on Sunday, but was following it was like penalty goal penalty, and it was a case of like, what is going on here? And it was just seemed that gritty kind of play, and we saw that a bit on Saturday as well. It was quite physical, and I wonder, although some people say it made a big impact, some people say it didn't, but Coventry, there's sections of their fan base that seem to take exception to the post-game interview after the first leg on Wednesday, and whether that contributed to it at all or not. But yeah, it was two teams with a lot of history that came together, both fighting for things, of course, with Coventry being on the up and a long way back, but you can never say never, and Panthers fighting for the league titles. They were two really important games for the sides, and it came out in what were two really good games of hockey.
I feel we've touched on this on one of the podcasts, but obviously, you make an interesting and good point about the Danny Stewart comments. I've just said that people want to find a fence, they will find a fence. Danny wasn't being offensive to the current Coventry Blaze team. I think some fans took it that way, and he was factually correct. It wasn't insulting, and it was his team last year as well. So, there's that to factor in, and all Danny was saying was praising his own team. He was saying this team has twice the talent, and we know this is a great roster that's been put together. Coventry Blaze would tell you that they don't have the budget to put together a roster like some of the big teams do. So yeah, some people I feel as though took offence and there was no need, and I don't know. I felt the. I mean, Danny has been booed by the Blaze fans before. I felt they were a little bit louder on Saturday. I'm not one of those people that doesn't, because we're going to come on to clapping goals. Saw some debate about Sheffield Fife and the Sheffield fans clapping a Fife goal. So I'm going to get your opinions on that in a minute. We're going to jump around. But yeah, I'm not, I accept there's going to be boos in the game and things like that, and there's nothing wrong in that. But to me, when someone like Danny Stewart's led your team for that long, to hear the Blaze fans having a bit of a dig, that was disappointing. Ken, you've been quite vocal in your thoughts about that recently as well, in terms of the Danny Stewart call, the comments. There was no malice in it at all, was there?
To be fair, I actually thought what he said was actually complimentary towards the. I didn't see it actually as a negative thing, but I guess depending on where you come from. I also saw some great comments on Twitter after the two games against Coventry, and somebody put like, "Oh, I've lost some respect for Kevin Moore, getting his team to play like that." And I was thinking, no. Like, I think it's great. I think it's brilliant. I think, going in, and both those teams and the fans, they knew there was a hockey game that night, and that's what makes it the greatest sport. That's what separates it from everything else. When just two teams just going at it like that, and just a proper physical, spit and sawdust, blood on the floor game. It was just a brilliant, like, just everything about it was just brilliant.
Greener, although, again, I'll reiterate that to me, the Danny Stewart comments didn't warrant the reaction. And, Danny's a very respectful man, and you only saw, how he was humbled by what went on Sunday for Keno, and that he was to be a part. That he's a very humble man, and has a lot of affection still for the Blaze organization. And while we're on that subject, I thought the tributes they did for Dale Keane that night were lovely, for one of the great guys of British ice hockey. But Greener, moving on to when coaches make comments or other players make comments, and I just wonder, have you ever been in a dressing room where a coach has used comments that, you don't have to name them if you don't want them, but maybe it's years on and you can reveal. But my point is, have you ever been in a dressing room where a coach have said, "This guy said this about you guys, da-di-da," and used it as motivation? And if so, does it work, do you think?
Yeah, I think it definitely, can be used. I think now with social media, it's not really a case of this coach said this. Every player knows what every coach says because it's everywhere. It's not, 15 years ago and like nobody really sees the interviews or sees the highlights unless you go looking for them. If a coach in this league comes out and says something, bad or derogatory about another team, it gets spread like in minutes, doesn't it? And everybody sees it, and it gets passed around. But I think really it was more the other way with us. I mean, Corey was always very good at, if he wanted to get our attention, he would say something maybe negative about us in the press so that we would hear it, and he wouldn't have to say it to us. He would say it in his interview, and he would know that we would hear it. So, if we had a really poor game on the Saturday, he would make sure he kind of, he wouldn't name names, but he would kind of call the team out a bit, say we needed better, basically chirp us a little bit. And obviously we would all hear it that night, and then, it would sink in overnight and we'd come back. So I think coaches use it, that they can use their interviews and their media to get reactions now because of social media. But yeah, I mean, I can't really think of any that sort of spring to mind, but I'm sure, coaches over the years have said things in public and the other coach has picked up on it and then played it back to his own team. I'm sure that's happened frequently.
We're going to move forward in a moment, but just touch on the Guildford game very slightly, because I really want to dwell on the weekend. But Chris, come to you first. Just a frustrating night for the Panthers, because they came out strong, and I think many in the building, and me included, at 2-0 was a little fooled. I thought at 2-0, I felt like this was going to be a really good night. There were some warning signs, because I think Flames hit the bar or the pipes at least once in the first period, if not twice. But Panthers looked in control. They were creating chances. They were looking strong. I mean, yes, I think we'll all accept that Panthers were sloppy, and they gave possession away too much in the second and third period. Danny Stewart alluded that to the post-game press conference in the green room and in his interview with Owen Bradley. Also, we took too many penalties. People can argue about whether they were fair or not. But the fact was that the penalty kill, had been so good this season, and it's going through a tough patch. But also credit Guildford Flames too, because to come from two down in a building where not many teams win this season, that was great. So what were your thoughts on Wednesday night, Ken? Chris.
Yeah, pretty much kind of what you've covered there. I mean, the first period it was far more comfortable. You looked at the shots and then not really sure what happened. Second and third period came out, looked a bit sloppy, as you said, gave the puck away a lot. You look at Guildford's first goal, where rather than trying to clear the puck up and around the boards, try and go down the middle and give it away in the slot, and there wasn't a lot that Jason Grande could have done. Then second one on the power play. They only needed 8 seconds, the Flames, of power play time to tie that game up. And that again, Grande makes the first save, but puck comes out into the slot, and after having committed to that first save, he's out of position, and Panthers just defensively weren't the ones to get their stick on it. Then third one, I think everybody got wrong-footed a bit by that initial shot, having the broken stick. And the puck just happened to come out over to Jacome on the right-hand side to put in from a tight angle. So not really a lot that Grande could have done with any of those goals, really. Obviously, the fourth one, an empty netter. But yeah, it was frustrating. I think missed opportunities in the second period as well, and taking penalty after penalty in the third. I mean, as soon as one penalty got killed off, the other one. And then the next one then got called, and those PK lines were out for a long time in that third period. And eventually, yeah, two power play goals, and that's what did it.
Right, I'm going to bounce around a few topics now. Ken, to you. I've seen a great debate on Twitter today. Apparently, the Steelers fans applauded Fife scoring on Wednesday night. I don't know whether you've stumbled across those tweets, but for some reason tonight, I've just seen a whole lot of chat about, and then I've seen a video as well. But Fife score a goal. I don't know how late it was, actually. It was 8-1, wasn't it? But I don't know how late it was. But
I think that was it. It was at 6-0 to make it 6-1, I
make it
believe.
6-1, but it seems like there was a sympathetic round of applause from the Steelers fans. Where do you stand on that? I feel as though maybe applaud a team off the ice like Fife after they put in a good shift when they're short of bodies, that to be clapping a goal against your own side seems a bit wrong to me, doesn't it, to you, Ken?
So, first of all, if it's to do with Sheffield, I'm really not that interested.
I knew you'd say
So
that.
I don't know why we're talking about them on our podcast, but if I was to take, if it wasn't Sheffield and we're just talking about a random situation where a team that's struggling and has had some challenges and sits at the bottom of the league, not won many games, plays a top side, and then the fans of that side end up clapping a goal. I wasn't there. I've seen the comments. I saw them when I was on the train tonight on the way back home. And
Didn't have a seat there, did you?
no, well, that's, I mean, which was surprising given the fantastic transport infrastructure we've got in this country. But that's an aside. But anyway, the what I don't know, what I don't know is I don't know whether it was sarcastic clapping or it was genuine clapping. And I think actually, if it, I want to think it was like in the spirit of, giving people the benefit of that. I want to think it was like well-meaning, sort of like actually, we know Fife are going through a tough time. They're not going to win this game, so it's kind of like a bit of a. But I suspect it was probably the last, like more of a sarcastic tone. To be honest with you, I don't really care.
No. Okay. Well, let's pretend it's not Sheffield. Pretend it's another team.
No. I've already pretended it's another team or somebody else. I've moved on from the, I'm just saying, I don't, if that feels right, do it. Like, just that was the mood of the one thing is that will never, ever, ever cease to amaze me is that is the mentality and the way that a crowd operates. And so what you got, whatever happened at that time, was the mood of the crowd. And you cannot predict, influence. You just got to, if I've learned one thing over 20 odd years, it's the crowd will do what the crowd does. And just that is the, that's all the crowd are doing is they are giving you the prevailing emotion of that moment. And that's why I love what I do.
That's very deep, but very interesting as well. And we're going to come on to that now. Let's jump forward, really, because, you know, I got kind of I put some on the WhatsApp groups, Ken. I got kind of little tingles when you started shouting Believe on Wednesday, when we put out that video, great little video that Sophie put together.
I want to see more little, to be fair. I'd like to see more videos before we go into the sequence as well.
Yeah.
Because that got me. I was pretty hyped up, to be fair.
You know, and this was hyped up before a game against Guildford with this game in a week. So, you know, I can only imagine what it's going to feel like on Wednesday night. It's
going to feel like a religious experience.
You know, this is probably going to be the last time that we get together for a pre-game podcast to really, I think, ahead of the weekend. Dan, what do Panthers... Let's talk about the tactics before we talk about kind of the emotion. But Dan, what do the Panthers, and I know it sounds obvious, they've got to get at least three goals, but how do they approach a deficit like that?
I think they have to be quite, when I say cautious, I don't mean play cautiously. I mean, I think, you know, the atmosphere is going to be, you know, a cauldron, obviously. It's going to be electric. They're going to be so amped up. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. We've seen the way the momentum carries the team every year, but especially this year. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if we came out and after 10 minutes we're 2-0 up, just with the crowd and everything, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my god, we're right back in this. We're only one goal away now. Obviously we're playing a very good team. You know, they're going to come in, you know, veteran coach, a lot of experienced players. They're going to know how to handle the situation. I think obviously the thing you have to be careful of is, you know, goals the other way. You know, you can't go out there and think. I hear a lot of people saying like, oh, we've got to score four goals to win. And it's like, yeah, we have to score four goals now. That's the minimum we have to score to win. So it's, you know.
That's a good point.
If Belfast come out and we're playing really well and, you know, they get a power play after 6 minutes and they score, all of a sudden it's like, okay, it's only one goal, but, you know, it makes it a lot harder. So I think it's like managing those emotions, and you've got to go for it, and everyone's going to be so amped up. It's going to be guys be blocking shots with their faces and whatever, but you've got to kind of think that you've got the full 60 minutes. You know, you've got to wear them down, take your chances. There's a lot of little things that go into it, but personally, I don't think it's about coming out and just flying at them and trying to score every shift, because, you know, if we give them chances the other way and they score a couple of goals, then it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a big ask. But I truly think we still have a really good chance, you know, with the way we're playing this year, with the atmosphere, with the momentum and everything. But I think after the first period, you'll know, you know, it's, we're either going to come out swinging and we're going to be right back in it, or, you know, even if it's tied after the first, that's 20 minutes for them gone and they've only got 40 left to get through. So, yeah, the first 20 minutes, I think, will kind of tell us everything we need to know.
And I mentioned this on the pre-game podcast, and I'm just doing a little bit of research as well, and I'm pretty sure, from my little research as we speak, and you make that great point there about not just, you know, four goals. I don't think Belfast have been shut out all season. So we need minimum three goals to take it to overtime, four goals to win the tie. And we need to become the first team to shut Belfast Giants out this season. So Chris, that in itself shows that Panthers might need four or five goals to win this tie.
Yes. That is very true. I think there's a few things that Panthers need to consider on Wednesday evening. The first is, as Dan alluded to there, they don't need to score on every single shift. Key thing is, do not panic. Okay, break it down. You actually only need to win each period 1-0, and then you've made that up. Or, you know, win each period by one goal and then it goes into overtime. So there is no need to panic first of all. The second thing is, we're going along with that panicking, you don't need to do any, it's about doing the simple things well. We don't need those fancy passes that sometimes go awry, no look between the legs pass that we saw a couple of times on Saturday. So sorry, on Wednesday. So it's one of those where there is plenty of time. If Belfast did it, Panthers can do it. There's a precedent for it, and it's going to be, as Dan said, you're going to know pretty quickly how the night's going to go, particularly by the end of the first period.
I've got a dog on me now, so I might find
You
it
are.
to talk. If only this was video. Welcome, John. There you go. Might just be up in the
Oh.
end. I touched on this on the pre-game podcast in the we have so many podcasts in the salt box, Ken, and I feel as though you looked
Is
at me.
the pre-game live one that doesn't get recorded? Is that actually a podcast?
Well,
Or
yes,
because
it
what
is.
is a podcast?
It's a show, really, I
Yeah,
suppose.
well,
Like,
we.
yeah. I tell you what gets discussed there, and what I will say is, I know you're going to ask me, but before you ask me the question, I would say, because it's not recorded,
We're a bit more risque.
that is the one to come and listen to. If you currently sit and have a beer downstairs in Saltbox and you don't come upstairs into the Panthers' lair and listen, there's some stuff that gets said in there that can't get said, that gets recorded. So the people, if you know, right?
This Gatsby says some outrageous things. Ken's quite loose-lipped. I mean, being serious, Ken's quite, you're quite controversial on that podcast, and I
Yeah,
love it.
because it's not being recorded. As I said on, it's like it's Chatham House rules.
It was a very passionate speech about the new netminder and the
Yeah,
signing
but if you
situation
weren't
around
there, you
that.
missed it.
You missed it. Yeah, I have to rein you in a bit on this one, don't I? Occasionally cut the odd thing
Well,
out,
there's like, I mean, when I listen to it, I'm hardly in it because it gets edited that much. Yeah. So, oh, thanks, Ken, for your contribution. You said, yeah, most of it
Ken
was
spoke for
edited
40 minutes, but there's only three in it.
out.
We're going to run out of time. So when I said this, and I don't know whether I really believe it, but I know it would set the tone for the building. And this goes back to the Canada-USA game. Is there any point a player dropping the gloves? We all love old-time hockey. We all got a buzz when there was a fight at the first face-off. I sometimes thought the real stage ones, when Sean McMorrow came out, and I was like, this is a bit more like pantomime. When there was a bit of venom about it, yes. So my point is there any point a Panthers player challenging someone in what, and a Belfast player probably wouldn't bite, but Ken, do you think there, and I'm going to come to you as well, Greener, is there any point that happening? Or are those days just firmly behind us?
So there's, I'm going to split that into two. Would I love to see it? Yes, absolutely. Do I think that's the game for it? No. I think my view is in that game, the first goal is going to win that game. And whether that, so I don't know. Depends who it is. Like, I'd love to see, yeah, do you know what? Set the tone. Yeah, screw it. Yeah,
Come on
absolutely.
then.
I'd love to see that.
Let's speak to Greener, the former hockey player. How much in a game like that would, and maybe if it's a big player, I don't know. I mean, it was great to see Tets fight at the weekend, Diedrich as well. But I guess it's hard, Ken, Dan, because I think if we had this conversation 10 years ago, I think we would all go, "Oh my God, yes." But I think we all accept it's a different game, isn't it now? But would you still, if you were Panthers head coach for the night, would you be telling someone to go out there and do that?
I mean, I certainly wouldn't be telling anybody to do it because I just don't really think, like you said, the game's changed a bit, and I don't really think you can ask players to do that. But I think it would be personally an awesome way to start it, just that to not only to get the crowd in it, but and obviously it would be the Panthers player being the aggressor, just almost saying to Belfast, like, this is war,
This is our
this isn't
bar.
going to be like, someone like, and I would never put, say a player to do it, but someone like a Tets or,
Just call it. There you go.
well, no, but
Does.
I'm trying to think of someone that actually might do it, and I'm also trying to think of someone from Belfast that might, I don't, we haven't seen them much this year, so I couldn't really think of a player, but if there was a player on each team or a couple of players that you thought, do it fairly regularly, if you were a Panthers player, you might think, you know what, I'm just going to set the tone for this game. The crowd will be on their feet and it will just light this building. I mean, it's going to be like that anyway, but I just think, yeah, if you could do that and it doesn't cost the team, just to say to, the other team, like, we mean busy, this is going to be our night, and you're almost stamping that authority. Like you said, you don't want one of the back in the day, a couple of the staged fights that, players that aren't going to have an impact, but like a decent player on each team, if like Sam Hare just went with their captain straight away, it would just be like iconic, wouldn't it? Like
It would be. It would be.
Gone are the days where we'd be setting up just before they get it, like, and Razor would like, he'd like come round and put the forearm guards in the penalty box, and you'd be like, "Oh," I'd say to Steve, I'd be like, "It's happening. It's going down tonight." Because the forearm guards would just be like hidden under the bench in the home penalty box. You'd be like, "Someone's getting it straight away tonight."
I mean, it was great, but I just it's not gonna happen. I would put money on it not happening, but I just think it would be wild if it did. But as and again, if you're Belfast, why even enter into that? And again, 15 years ago they might want to, but they don't need to. And then if you did do that and they didn't look bothered, Panthers would take the aggressor penalty. Right, we're running out
You
of
know what?
time.
There's an argument to say that the two boys that would be the most likely to do something like that are sat coaching the teams.
You know what? There's not even an argument. You are spot on. The two guys that would do that. Well, they can do it then. There you go. They can do
Oh, that's it. In the Dave Page Photography
Come
Bay.
on.
You heard it here first.
Come on. Oh, my. Yeah. The Steelers player once made it to the Dave Page Photography box to try and take on Ryan Smear.
Oh, that was
Regan Darby, his name was. We've touched on here before, I think, but it was the playoffs. It was the one when Rusto made all the saves and we went and won the playoffs. But yeah, we were winning 4-2 in that barn, and he'd been in the executive suites and he wasn't playing for some reason, injured, I guess.
I love Gary Moran's commentary on that. If you've ever watched it, and he's like, because wasn't Paul
Paul
on
was on
the
the
Steelers
bench.
bench?
Yes, because he was a Steeler by then and wasn't playing. But yeah, Gary Moran's commentary is like, who's that guy? Who is it?
And he's like, it's Regan Darby. It's Regan.
Yeah. And then I think someone like Danny Myers or Jeff Woodhouse offers him out to come on the Panthers bench. Anyway, listen, guys, it's been great to reminisce about so many different things. We got through a lot of topics there. Really, really exciting stuff. And as I said, some big home games coming up this week. Sunday at home to Manchester, family tickets available. And then tickets from £9 on Wednesday, Challenge Cup semi-final. We
And
believe, and if you believe.
fan zone Saturday night, fan zone at
And
Blind
fans.
Rabbit Saturday
Oh
night.
no, not Sheffield don't let us do it, so you can't go on a Saturday.
They
So
don't?
no,
What?
sadly not. So
Are you joking?
no fan zone on
Right,
us.
come round to mine, because I'm
Yeah,
definitely going to Sheffield. Come round to mine
all round to
and
Ken's.
we'll
Ken's
watch it.
fan
I'll buy
zone.
the webcast. We'll get as many people in as we can.
Yeah, free
Beers
beer
on the
all night.
house. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. We'll see you very soon.